We're on Daf Kuvav on the base, so till the clock strikes 8:30, which I think is in about a minute or two, we'll open up the Daf Kuvav on the base, and we'll count down from the top of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down, and we'll start with Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. So what we've discussed until now is the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but as we said many times, it splits into two. There's Kiddush during tefillah as part of Shmoneh Esrei, and then there's Kiddush b'makom suda over a cup of wine. We said that there's another option other than wine, and that's pas. You could make Kiddush on hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Havdalah is clearly d'rabbanan. And once again, we have a double Havdalah. We have Havdalah in Tefillah, that's called Atachon Antanu, and then we have Havdalah Alakos. And part of what we're going to study tonight, Amir Tzashem, is the difference between the two Havdalahs, the Havdalah in Tefillah and the Havdalah Alakos. One of the things that we mentioned over and over again is that the purpose of Kiddush Alakos is to set up a Suda Shabbos, which means that the first thing that you eat on Shabbos has to follow the Kiddush, because the Kiddush has to set up the Suda Shabbos, and we don't eat a Suda Schol on Shabbos. If you started a Suda before Chashecha, before it became Shabbos, then we had a major machlokes as to whether or not you have to immediately stop and start and recite Kiddush, start a new Suda. Or maybe we'll let you continue the meal insofar as it started as a Suda Schol. But that's the exception to the rule. The rule is that we don't start eating and we don't eat anything before Kiddush. Our Sugya now addresses the following question. A man ate before Kiddush.
This is after Shkia.
So now he's in a funny situation because he violated the law of Asur Litom Kodem Kiddush, that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. Now what do we do? So there are two options. The first option is the most severe option, which is formulated here by Rav Huna in the name of Rav Tam, Eino Mekadesh. Now what that means, as the Rashbam explains, is that if he violated this prohibition and he went ahead and he ate something, then he's going to have to wait till tomorrow, and his Kiddush, insofar as it's postponed until tomorrow, is going to require him to fast on Friday night. The Gemara is going to get into this as we get along. But just as an opening position here, the sugya now in the name of Rav tells us that we're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, and if we do so, and there was a violation of the Isur of Asur Litom Kodem Kiddush, then as far as Friday night is concerned, this night is not appropriate for Kiddush. Kiddush has to be the kickoff, it has to be the beginning of his Achila of this night. And if he started the night with Achila before Kiddush, then he has to wait till tomorrow. That's the Rashbam. Other Rishonim, the Ravid, hold that in this situation, what he has to do is he has to hear Kiddush from somebody else. He himself cannot recite Kiddush.
Does Achila include Shkia?
No, Achila means the beginning of a Suda. So if he drank wine, that would be considered the beginning of the Suda. But if, on the other hand, he drank, let's say, water or fruit juice, that would not be considered the beginning of a Suda. He's still not allowed to do so, but he would not have undermined the mitzvah of Kiddush. What basically the Gemara is saying here, according to Rav, is that you forfeited the mitzvah of Kiddush, because essential to Kiddush is to set up the Suda. And that means that Kiddush has to precede his Achila. If he started his Achila without Kiddush, then he's really pogame. He really undermines the mitzvah of Kiddush. The next morning there's another mitzvah of Kiddush, and that's the Kiddush by day. Now, we had a long discussion about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, about Tashlumin, if you remember, which means that if a person, let's say, omitted Kiddush at night, can he recite Kiddush during the day as a substitute for the night? What we have to know in this particular scenario, according to Rav, if we're basically robbing him of Kiddush at night, does he have Tashlumin in the morning?
I was going to ask, because he has a... Would Rav say, we said about the Ravid, he has an obligation to, what he just said in the Shmoneh Esrei, is that enough? He has to commemorate.
That's not enough, because he needs, in addition to Shmoneh Esrei, a Kiddush Alakos. And a Kiddush Alakos he cannot implement according to Rav, because he already ate. What he can do, says the Ravid, and that has to be understood,
to be Yotze from
he can be Yotze with someone else's Kiddush through what's called Shomei Ka'one. According to Rashbam, he's got to delay his mitzvah of Kiddush until the morning. And the question that I have for you is, and I'm not sure what the answer is at this point, would the Kiddush by day be the identical Kiddush as the Kiddush at night? Because Kiddush by day is called Kiddusha Rabbah. We discussed that that's just Bari Priya Gof. And here in this case, he hasn't recited the long Kiddush of Mekadesh HaShabbos. And at the very least, we should allow him to have Tashlumin. But the question is, usually Tashlumin is for someone who inadvertently omitted Kiddush or Tefillah, we have a din of Tashlum, but here he's robbed of Kiddush because almost as a penalty for what he did wrong. So I don't know if we can give him the option of a Kiddush of Tashlum, and I'm not sure. In any event, this is the Shita of Rav. We'll soon see that the Gemara does not accept the Shita of Rav. Boy minei Rav Chana bar Chinina mirav Huna. If you're telling me that if he went ahead and he ate before Kiddush, then he forfeits the mitzvah of Kiddush, at least as far as Lila is concerned. What about the Iser of eating before Havdalah? In other words, once Shabbos is over, he's not allowed to eat a meal before Havdalah. If he went ahead and he violated that prohibition and he ate, what should we say? Should we apply the principle that Rav applied to Kiddush and say that Hu Adin Vu Atam, as far as Havdalah is concerned, which means that night he's going to have to fast, he can't eat, and he can't make Havdalah, he's going to have to wait till tomorrow to make Havdalah. Amolei, Ani Omer Tah Mavdil. In other words, the response of Rav Huna to Rav Chana was that in this case, I think it's not the same as Kiddush. Even though in the case of Kiddush, we accept the Shita of Rav, that Ta'am Eino Mekadesh, but in the case of Havdalah, Ta'am Mavdil. He can recite Havdalah even though he violated the Isur of Te'ima. Okay then? So that's what we have so far. So we now have a distinction between Kiddush and Havdalah. And we're going to have to understand why we should make that distinction. Obviously, Kiddush is Doraisa, so it has a more severe halacha, and maybe therefore if he violated Isra Achili, we could be more strict with him. I don't know. But we'll come back to this in just a few minutes. First, let's go through the Gemara itself. Rav Asi Omar Ta'am Eino Mavdil. Rav Asi says, let's be consistent. If we're accepting the Shita of Rav, that Ta'am Eino Mekadesh, we'll apply it equally to Havdalah and Ta'am Eino Mavdil. And then the Gemara tells a story. Now in this story, Rav Asi seems to have changed his mind. What was the case? Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Ikla Lebe Rav Asi. Rav Asi was visited by Rav Yirmiya. And Ishtale V'tam Midi. By mistake, Ishtale means he forgot himself and he tasted something. So this is Rav Yirmiya. Havule Kasa V'Avdil. And Rav Asi, his host, brought him a kos in order to make Havdalah. So here we have a case where Rav Asi violated the Isur of Te'ima before Havdalah, and yet, even though Rav Yirmiya did such a thing, Rav Asi gave him Havdalah. Amalei Debeso, it's the wife who always catches the husband on a mistake, and she says to her husband, V'amar lo Ovid Hachi. You yourself, Rav Asi, have already formulated your opinion that Ta'am Eino Mavdil. So you're committed to that opinion. Why would you then offer Rav Asi to make Kiddush after he ate something? Omar lo avid hofi. It's a big kavdol. Sorry. Omole shavke. Let Rav Yirmiya make avdol. Why? Shavke means leave him alone. Kirabe svirule. Because Rav Yirmiya is a Talmud of Rav. And Rav was of the opinion that Tom ainu mekadesh, but in the case of Havdalah, Tom mekadesh. Others say that when he said Kirabe Svirule, he was referring to Rav to Rav Huna. So we're not sure exactly whether or not Rav Yirmiya was a Talmud of Rav or he was a Talmud of Rav Huna. And Rav Huna, if you recall, was the one who stated Ani Omer Tom Mavdil. So basically, Rav Asi was saying the following: if it would have been me, I would have fasted tonight and delayed and postponed my Avdol till tomorrow. But since it wasn't me, it was a Talmud of Rav Huna or Rav, that's Rav Yirmiya, so I have to trust and I have to respect Rav Yirmiya's psak based on what he received from his Rebbe. Now here, Tosfos is bothered by a question here. How could it be that someone as great as Rav Yirmiya, he's considered one of the great giants of his time, he would have eaten something before Havdalah? It cannot be because he's ignorant of the law. It must be because he made a mistake. But we have a principle, and this is a Gemara in Masechta Chulin, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takola afilu lebehemtam shel tzaddikim v'kolshken letzaddikim atzmam. That as a general rule, obviously this is an exception to that case, but the general rule is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the tzaddik from making a mistake. The Gemara talks about a case in Chulin of Demai, and the Gemara says it's impossible that even the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair would have eaten from Demai, whatever that Gemara means. So Tosfos gives the following answer. He says the following: that when you have what's called macholas asuros, something that's forbidden, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the tzaddik to guarantee that he will not fall into this violation of eating macholas asuros. Then we say Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takola. But in the case of eating before Havdalah, this is not macholas asuros. There's nothing prohibited about the food. The food itself is mutar b'achila. It's the shah she'ena muteres. It's the hour that doesn't allow you to eat. And in such a case, it's not considered such a gnai, such a terrible thing for a tzaddik, if he's nichshal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to go ahead and protect him. The reason I mention this Tosfos to you is because I believe that this Tosfos is predicated on a fundamental distinction between what we call an Iser Chefta and an Iser Gavra. What I mean to say by an Iser Chefta is where the food itself inherently is Asur. There's something despicable on a spiritual level, obviously, for the Jewish people to eat that. That's called an Iser Chefta. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the tzaddik from falling into the trap of imbibing or eating something that's a Chefta d'Isura. But then there's something else which is called an Iser Gavra. That means that the object, the food itself is not in any way Tomei or Asur, it's Heter Gomor. But just at this moment, you're not allowed to eat it. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not necessarily protect the tzaddik. That's what Tosfos says. But getting back to the sugi itself, Amar Rav Yosef Amar Shmuel, the Gemara now summarizes the various opinions halacha lemaisa according to the opinion of Shmuel. Tom eino makadesh, Tom eino mavdil. This was the opinion that we saw earlier in the name of Rav Asi. If we accept Rav that Tom eino makadesh, then we have to apply it equally to Havdola Tom eino mavdil. Rabba Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Ta'am makadesh v'ta'am mavdil. In other words, Shmuel, in this version, in this tradition from Rav Nachman, never accepted the basic halach of Rav that ta'am ain't a makadesh. Okay, he shouldn't have eaten, but he already went ahead and he ate. Now immediately he should be making kiddush. We're not going to penalize him and say that we're going to rob the mitzvah from him. And if we apply that principle logically and consistently to the case of Havdalah, then Tam Mavdil. So both versions of Shmuel have a certain element of consistency, meaning we apply the same rule to Kiddush and to Havdalah, whether it's the rule that says Eino Makadesh, therefore Eino Mavdil, whether it's Makadesh, therefore Mavdil. This is not like the Shita of Rav Huna, who said that Ani Omer Tam Mavdil, even though Rav Huna would have accepted Rav's opinion that Makadesh is Tam Eino Makadesh, but nevertheless Tam Mavdil. But now the Gemara is not on that line of reasoning.
Why does he do that? Probably because he sees an importance here that one is the Olaita, one not.
No, that we'll get to in just a few minutes. Again, I'm right now, I just wanted to go through the Gemara, and then we're going to have to face the main question of what's the difference between Kiddush and Avdol. Now we're on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Omar Rava Hilchasa Tam Makadesh V'Tam Mavdil. Rava, who's a Basra, he's the later generation, he gives the final opinion that we pass from like that version of Shmuel, that whether or not it's Kiddush or Avdolah, even though he violated the Issa to Ima, he can go ahead and recite Kiddush, he can go ahead and recite Havdolah. Umishalo Kiddush B'Erev Shabbos, this is referring back to the original discussion about Tashlumin that we had about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and he left out Kiddush at night, is then Mekadesh V'Holeh Kol Hayom Kulo Ad Motzai Shabbos. We give him the entire day of Shabbos to make up for Kiddush. Mishalo Hivdil V'Motzai Shabbos Mavdil V'Holeh Kol HaShabbos Kulo. If he omitted Avdolah on Motzai Shabbos, we give him the entire week. And here we had a whole discussion back on Kuvav Amin Aleph that the entire week means the entire half of the week, the coming week that belongs to the previous week, and that's up till Tuesday, the first 3 days of the next week, and that's Tashlumin. So Tashlumin for Kiddush applies only within the context of Shabbos, but he has the entire day to make up for Kiddush. However, with regard to Avdolah, we give him the first 3 days of the week to be Mavdil and make up for the Avdolah that he omitted on Leil Shabbos, on Leil Motzi Shabbos. Amemar Pasach la lahosh maitita de rabbi by Lishna. A Meimar had a different tradition of Rava, what exactly Rava said, and according to his tradition, a Meimar, Omar Rava Hilchasa Tam Makadesh Tam Mavdil. So far it's identical to the first Lishna. But here he says, Mishlo Kiddush Be'erev Shabbos, Makadesh B'chol Yom Kula, Mishlo Hivdu Motzai Shabbos, Mavdil V'Holech Kol Hayom Kulo. Here's the difference between Amemar's text in Rava and the previous text in Rava. According to Amemar, if he omitted Avdolah Motzi Shabbos, we'll only give him 1 day to make it up, until the end of Sunday, as we call it. And here he says that the reason why we give him the entire Sunday is not Midin Tashlumin, but rather, there is no Tashlumin for Havdalah. But rather, the Havdalah belongs to the first day after Shabbos. We have a principle in Halacha that Hayom Holech Achar Alayla, meaning Laila and Yom become merged into one entity. So that when you have to recite Havdalah, it means going into the next day. You've left Shabbos, the seventh day of the week, you've entered into the first day of the next week. That first day takes you from Leil Motzi Shabbos through the day of Motzi Shabbos. So that's not really Tashlumin. The first Girsa, the first text and formulation of Rava said that if he misses Havdalah, we'll give him Tashlumin. That means beyond the first day of the week, he goes into the second day of the week and the third day of the week. But according to Meimar's Girsa, Rava would only allow you to make Havdalah on the day after Shabbos, which means the entire first day, and that's called Kol Hayom Kulo. Okay, now let's take a moment of break and ask ourselves the question, what's the difference between Kiddush and Avdolah? So in the back of the Masifta, I think I mentioned this to you many times in the past, there's something called Yalkut Biurim, which is an anthology of explanations. And He says the following. Let me just see if I can get the right page here. Here's the basic thesis. Tom Eina Makadesh, he says that according to Rav, this is the Shita of Rav, She'eino Makadesh, it means that he did not set up his Seuda as a Seuda Shabbos, and therefore Kiddush is incomplete. He has inadvertently caused a Kiddush to have less than the full kiyum. Because the Iser Te'ima means that the Kiyum of Kiddush, of the Mitzvah of Kiddush, is to recite Kiddush before you eat. So he asks the following question. He says, can we universalize this and say that in any case of a Mitzvah, when you're not allowed to eat before you do the Mitzvah, if you went ahead and you ate, would we therefore rob you of the opportunity of doing a mitzvah? Like, let's say, for example, a person's not allowed to eat before Netilas Lulav. So are you going to tell me that if he went ahead and he ate something, so we're going to rob him of Netilas Lulav? The answer is no, because there the Yisra Achila is a result of the fact that he has an urgent, incumbent obligation to fulfill. He has to take the Lulav. But the eating itself does not in any way pogea, it doesn't undermine the nature and the kiyum of lulav. But in the case of Kiddush, the eating itself is antithetical to the Kiddush, because the Kiddush has to kick off the Suda, and he already started his Suda before Kiddush. However, he says in the case of Havdalah is different. Havdalah doesn't really set up a Suda. We don't eat anything after Havdalah. Meaning, as opposed to Kiddush, where the Kiddush has to come before the Suda, and it's Halacha Vein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda, in Havdalah there's no Din of Vein Havdalah El B'Makom Suda. There's no Suda that follows Havdalah. So therefore, it's logical to assume that the Isra Achila before Havdalah is simply a particular case or an application of the universal principle that before you do a mitzvah, you don't eat. And to the extent to which that eating does not undermine the mitzvah can still go on even if you ate. So that's going to explain the shita that Tom ain't a makadesh, but Tom mavdil. What was the shita that held that Tom ain't a mavdil? Why would Te'ima undermine the mitzvah of Havdalah? So he suggests the following. That just like we need something to set up at the beginning of Shabbos, a Suda Shabbos, and what agent will play that role to set up a Suda Shabbos? Can anybody help me with this? Kiddush. So too, we need an agent at the end of Shabbos to set up a Suda's Chol. Meaning, Havdalah doesn't just mean that we go from an Isa Malacha to a Heta Malacha. That's definitely one part of Havdalah. But there's also a transformation, a radical change through Havdalah of going from a Suda Shabbos to a Suda Chol. What changes the Suda so that a Suda that I eat on Motzi Shabbos is a Suda Chol and not a Suda Shabbos? It's Havdalah. On Motzi Shabbos, I meant to say. So again, Kiddush is going to set up a Suda Shabbos on Friday night entering into Shabbos. And Havdalah is, on the flip side, in the book ends here, is going to set up a Suda Chol on Motzi Shabbos. And basically, if you were to eat a Seuda after Shabbos, before Havdalah, what you're doing is you're eating a Suda Shabbos. Now, this becomes very complicated because you've already recited Havdalah in Shmon Esrei. And now our discussion, our sugya, is focused on the Havdalah, the second Havdalah that you recite over the coast. So what's the relationship between this Achila before Havdalah in a case where he already recited Havdalah in Tfilas Arvis, now he's in anticipation of the Havdalah Alakos, and in the meantime, in between, he ate something. So the answer to this, I believe, is the following, and I hope you'll be able to follow me. I'll try to be as clear as I can, and you'll tell me if you understand what I'm saying. There are two dimensions to Shabbos. One dimension is a negative dimension, what we call an Isur, that primarily focuses on the Isur Malacha. And then there's a dimension of Shabbos that generates a mitzvah. What mitzvah? Kiddush, Kibud, Oneg, Shalosh Sudos. All these are the positive dimensions of Shabbos. Now, we have two Avdolas. Why do we recite two Avdolas? And the answer is the following, that the first Avdol is coming to terminate the negative dimension of Kiddush, the Oser of Shabbos, excuse me, meaning the Isur Malacha of Shabbos. So in that sense, the Avdol is coming to be Matir Malacha. That's the Avdol in Tefillah. Now we need another Avdol. And that Avdol is going to separate between Kibud V'Oneg and Suda Shabbos, and the positive dimension of Kedusha Shabbos and Suudas Chol. What agent is going to create that transformation, terminating Kibud V'Oneg and Suudas Shabbos and setting up Chol? That's going to be the second Avdol, the Avdol Alakos. And now, if that's be the case, we can answer why Avdol has to be on a Kos. What's the relationship between a Kos and Avdol? In the case, Bishleim, of Kiddush, I understand very well why we need a Kos. Because Ein Kiddush El B'Makom Suda, the Kos, we've been Koveh the Suda on the Kos Yayin. And the Yayin has to be drunk because that's the beginning of the Suda, so the Kiddush comes on Yayin. And if you don't have Yayin, or you're not in the mood for Yayin, so make Kiddush Al Pas, and then you set up the Suda with Kiddush. But in the case of Avdol, you're not setting up any Suda. So why is it critical that the Chazal require in the second Avdolah that the Avdolah be recited al HaKos? But the answer is because there is a relationship between Avdolah and Suda. In the opposite direction, instead of Kiddush setting up a Suda Shabbos, Avdolah is setting up a Suda Chol. And if you were to eat a Suda before you recite Avdolah and Shabbos is over, then you're setting up a Suda Shabbos on Chol, and you're not allowed to eat a Suda Shabbos on Chol. So there are two different Isurim here. The Te'ima before Kiddush means that you're setting up a Suda Chol on Shabbos, and that you're not allowed to do. The Te'ima before Avdolah means you're setting up a Suda Shabbos when it's Chol. And that's why, according to one Man D'Omer, as we saw in the Gemara, and one version of Shmuel, is Tam Einu Makadesh and Tam Einu Avdil. Because once you eat that Seuda Shabbos before Avdol HaKos, you are pogea in the mitzvah of Avdolah. Because the mitzvah of Avdolah is directed towards the goal of creating and setting up a Seuda Schol. You've already been pogea in that by eating before Avdolah. So Rabbosai, we're now on Daf Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. And we're about 10 lines down into the Gemara. And the Gemara tells us about Rav Chisda's two children. Rav Chisda, the Gemara tells us, was married twice. Once in his youth and once in his older age. And he had two children. And in the Gemara's language, each one has the name Mar. Mar is a name of covet. I don't know exactly what their name was, but they were called Mar. The Mar that was born to Rav Chisda during Rav Chisda's youth was called the Mar Kashisha. He was the older brother. And the brother that was born during Rav Chisda's older age is called Yanuka, Mar Yanuka. So there are two Mars. They were both children of Rav Chisda. And the Gemara records that they told Rav Ashi the following. Zimna chada ikla amemar li asrin. I'm telling you a story about a visit of amemar, one of the great amoroim, to our area. Velohavilon cham, and here in our local shtut, we didn't have wine, and therefore it was now a problem. How would amemar, the great amemar, be able to recite havdolah? So you and I would say, Yesh Tam L'Chaim, Yesh Coca-Cola. Why not make Avdolah on Coca-Cola? So that's exactly what this sugi is about. We call it Chamar Medina, right? So Aisino Le Shikra, they brought him beer because they didn't have wine to bring him. And they were hoping and anticipating that he would recite Avdolah over a cup of beer. Now the Rashbam says that this beer was not made of what we call hops or barley or anything like, but rather it was made of tmarim, of dates. What they used to do is they used to take dates and soak it in water, and after the water would absorb the taste of the dates, they would add other dates and replace it from the first dates and so on until the water was absolutely saturated with the tam of tmarim. And that was a great drink in those days. I once had date wine. It was very bad for my stomach. But anyway, the Gemara says that that's what they brought him. And what did he do? Do you think he made Avdolah on it? Lo Avdil. He refused to make Avdolah. Ubas Tvaslon. He went to sleep. Bas Tvas means Ma'una. Ma'una means suffering, afflicted. He didn't eat anything because he's not allowed to eat before Avdolah. L'machar, when day breaks, Tarichna, they went out to make a special effort, Vaisina Le Chamra, and they finally found some wine in town, who knows what they paid for it, the Avdil, and he made Avdolah. V'tah Midi, and then he started eating. L'shana, the following year, Su Ikla Liasrin, he came again to visit them, and again Lo Havilon Chamra, we didn't have any Chamra, Aisina Shikra. Well, this is a pellet. Why would they try it again? I mean, it failed on the first round. What? So apparently, they thought that maybe the reason why he didn't drink it on the first time. Here, let me just read to you this note. He says, "Madua hevilo shechar harek faro she'enam avdil ashechar kosev rashash shel kosev aisino le." If you read the Gemara carefully, it doesn't say aisino le. On the first case, the previous year, it says Aisina Le. Do you notice that? Which means they brought it for him. Here it says Aisina Shikra. Mashvash Heviulo Lehavdil Al Shechar Vaisina Shikra Hainu Sheviuli Atzma Mesa Shechar. Avamasha Huyasalo Yodu. Ah, in other words, they weren't sure exactly what he would do. They brought the Sheikhar for themselves because they understood that this Sheikhar had the status of Chamar Medina and you could recite Abdullah over the Sheikhar.
Maybe they could have thought that last year it wasn't Chamar Medina because it wasn't popular, but this year it is.
Or maybe last year he didn't understand that it was Chamar Medina. He thought they had access to wine and therefore he refused to make Abdullah on Sheikhar. This year, they were hoping that he would get the message that they just didn't have any availability of wine, and therefore you use Chamar Medina if you can't use wine. And that's exactly what he did, what Amemar did. Omar, he declared, "Ihachi, I see year after year you're not able to bring me wine without going out and doing a major effort. Then it must be that in your area there must be a major drink, some sort of significant drink that substitutes for wine. It has a certain chashivas to it. Chamar Medina. This is called Chamar Medina. Therefore, Avdil v'toy midi. On this case, he made Avdolah straight away on Motzi Shabbos and then he sat down and he ate his Malav HaMalka. Shmamina Tflas. Now, Rabosai, I'm going to read the three Shmaminos here, but I want you to think in your own mind what would have been top on your list here if at the end of the day Amemar did capitulate and he recited Avdolah over the Sheikhar. Okay? Everybody should have an answer in their mind already, and hopefully we all have the same answer. But take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara has three Shmaminos. Shmamino Tlas. Number one, Shmamino Hamavdil Bitfila Tzarchi Avdal Kos. In other words, there's no question in the Gemara's mind that Amemar had already fulfilled the mitzvah of Avdolah in Tfila and Mairiv when he recited Atachon and Tonu, but nevertheless, they brought him a Kos. Had they had wine, they would have brought him wine. Because it's not enough to fulfill the mitzvah of Avdolah in Tfila, you need an additional Havdolah Ala Kos. The Pella is the Gemara doesn't ask why. And we spent a lot of time trying to figure that out. But in any event, just like Avdolah requires a double Avdolah, there's one Avdolah, I'm sorry, starting in. Just like Kiddush requires a double Kiddush, one kiddush in tefillah and another kiddush alakos. So to avdala requires a double avdala, one avdala in tefillah and one alakos. Shmamina, the second derivation, asul oliyodim sheyochal kodim sheyavdil. Why did Neymar fast that night on the first year? Because he didn't have what? He didn't have yayin for avdala, and you're not allowed to eat before avdala. Ushmamina mishlo hivdil motzei Shabbos. Mavdil v'holech kol haShabbos kulo. And here the Mefarshim don't understand exactly what the Gemara means when it says kol haShabbos kulo. Kol haShabbos kulo means tashlumin Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. How can you prove such a thing? After all, Amemah recited Avdol the following morning when they were matriach themselves and they brought him wine. That doesn't prove that there's tashlumin for Avdol. We said that the entire day is Hayom Holech HaKalayel, it's one entity. So that's not Tashlumin. So some want to change the girsa here or say that the Gemara is Lav Dafka, but it really means Kol Hayom Kulo. It doesn't mean Kol HaShabbos Kulo. But now I come back to my quiz question from before. Which Shmamino would you have written up front and it doesn't even appear on the list? Nobody's with me on that? What's the biggest chiddush of this story?
That we can use
Chamar Medina for Avdala. I mean, that should have been number one on the list. So the Gemara apparently assumed, as a Dover Pashut, that the reason why they brought him Sheikhar is because you can make Avdala on Chamar Medina. That was never a question. That was never an issue. There was no Havamin in anyone's mind that in the absence of wine, it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of Avdala over Chamar Medina. It was Pasha that you fulfilled the mitzvah of Chamar Medina. The issue was the particular drink that they brought him. As I told you before, they brought him a mashke that's made of tamarim. Normally, when you talk about sheikhar, you're talking about something that's made of barley, you know, it's made of grains, it's very significant, it's chametz on Pesach. And here instead they brought him tamar juice, date juice. So the question is that considered chamar medina? And this is what the Shaklavitarya is all about. Then you could always ask the question, so why not say shmamina that even mashke mitmarim is called chamar medina? But that really depends upon every locale, right? So for example, you go to certain countries and they drink pomegranate juice. Right? I just came from the East about a week and a half ago. And there they're very heavy into pomegranate juice. Have you ever tasted it? Yeah, it's also kind of rough on the stomach. And then I was in South Africa many years ago and there they love strawberry juice. Have you ever tasted strawberry juice? From squeezed strawberries. It's out of this world. It's mamish me'ein olam hava. In my humble opinion. You can disagree with me on that. So in every country, relative to, and even breaking down the country into different districts and areas and cities, Chamar Medina is relative. So that wasn't a great shmamina. But the three shmaminos are that you need a second avdola. You can't eat before the second avdola. And if you went ahead and you ate before the avdola, then we'll give you an opportunity the entire day on Sunday to recite Avdol.
Just a technical question. The Mavdil V'Holeh Kol HaShabbos Kulo, maybe you touched on it, but in other words, we have to interpret that to mean up to Tuesday.
Right.
But why is the Lashon of the Gemara just...
So that was the sugi that we had about a get. Were you there, Aaron, when we discussed this? A man gave a get to his wife, and he made a condition that after Shabbos, she would deliver 200 zuz. And the Gemara says after Shabbos means the extension of the previous week. Right? Meaning right after the week ends, but still a period that's connected to the previous week. And the Gemara establishes that she can bring the 200 zuz and fulfill and validate the get up till Tuesday. Because the first three days of the week are an extension or a tag along to the previous week. They belong to the previous week. That's called Kol HaShabbos Kulo. Kol HaShabbos Kulo means the entire week. The week doesn't end with Motzi Shabbos on Saturday night. The week ends on Tuesday. That was the sugi that we covered about a week or two ago. Until now, we've been discussing the using Chamar Medina for Avdol. What about Chamar Medina for Kiddush? Now that's how the Rush learns this sugya. The Rashbam has a different pshat in the sugya, which I find very difficult. The Rashbam thinks that the word shikra here in this Gemara of Rav Huna is identical with the word shikra in the previous sugya, which means that it was made from tamarin. And the Gemara wants to know if this secondary kind of a drink, which is not the real McCoy Chamar Medina, can that be used even for Kiddush? Because as we said, Kiddush requires Kviyas Su'uda. And that's why we said, according to one man, the Amar Tam, Ein Makadish, and Ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Su'uda. And to be Koveya Su'uda on Tamar juice, with all due respect, that the Gemara is not happy about. Omar, so Rav Chisda says, Hashta, I have a Kal V'Chomer. And this is all based on a previous statement of Rav. Ma pirzuma te'eni v'asne, these are all types of juices, we'll explain them one by one. Did boy minemi Rav, the question was raised of Rav, can we use any of these fruit juices for Kiddush? And Rav asked the question to his uncle, Rabbi Chia, who is a Talmud Muvuk of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So the question came in front of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and the answer was passed down that lo poshatle. Now, again, that phrase lo poshatle is a little bit confusing. Sometimes lo poshatle means he didn't have an answer. But here the lo poshatle means lo hiter lo. He wasn't lenient about this. In other words, he excluded all these types of juices. Is shikra, this tamar juice, mi boy, question mark? That's a rhetorical question. It's not even an issue. For sure you can't make Kiddush on it. So let's go through these three juices. First of all, we have pirzuma. Pirzuma is a kind of juice made from, not exactly beer, but it's made from grains, some sort of soaking of grains in water. Te'ene means you have fig juice. I never tasted fig juice. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't think my stomach will tolerate it. Anyway, and then you have asni, which is a kind of a berry. Maybe it's strawberry juice. I don't know. And Rav got the answer back from Rav Chia, from Rebbe, that you cannot make Kiddush on these types of juices. And the Gemara says, how much more so in the case of dates? That if you make a juice out of soaking dates, you know, you soak dates in water, there's no possibility of reciting Kiddush. Again, it would seem from this sugya, certainly the way the Rashbam interprets this sugya, that you could be Makadish on the real McCoy Chamar Medina. These were secondary Chamar Medinas. But that's not how the Rosh learns the sugya. According to the Rosh, the Gemara rejects Chamar Medina for Kiddush, and I'll get back to that again. Well, I don't even have to get back to it because we've discussed it so many times that Kiddush has to kick off the Suda, and you can't kick off a Suda on Chamar Medina. There's no such thing as being Koveya Suda on Chamar Medina. You recite a Shakal Nia B'Dvara. Savor Mina Kiddushe Hu Delo Makadshina Niluye Aval Avdule Mavdulina. But we can recite Havdalah over this kind of date drink, because the whole discussion here and the question that Rav raised was in regard to Kiddush. Apparently, an Avdolah would have been okay. And once again, because Avdolah doesn't kick off a Suda. Amalei Rav Chisda Hachi Amar Rav Kishem Shei Mekadshin Olav Kach Ein Mavdilin Olav. So here the Rashbam says very well, Ein Mavdilin Olav, because this is not the bona fide, real, genuine, real McCoy Chamar Medina. These were juices that were used as regular kind of juices, but they didn't have that special significance of Sheikhar. Itmar Nami, Omrav Tachlifa Baravimi, Omr Shvul Chem Shem Makadshin Olav, Kach Ein Mavdilin Olav. And this seems to contradict the previous sugya of Amemar, because in the sugya of Amemar, we came to the conclusion that He did make Havdalah on the juice of Tamarin. But I think the answer to the question is the following, that they brought a Memar the best that they could do. They didn't have wine, and now they looked for the main staple drink of that country or that society, and that was the juice of Tamarim. They were probably very poor, and that's all they could afford. But Ein Chinami in other countries where they had real Sheikhar, then Sheikhar becomes Chamar Medina. In any event, according to the Rush, there's no possibility of using Chamar Medina for Kiddush, even the real Makoy Chamar Medina, and yet we can use Chamar Medina for Havdalah. So it would seem that according to the Rush, when we make a brach on a kus, we always have to ask ourselves, what is the function of that kus? If it's what we call a classical universal kosher bracha, which adds significance to the bracha, because you made the bracha over a kus, then Chamar Medina is enough of a significant drink to set up a kosher bracha. And that could apply to Havdalah and to, let's say, you know that when we get married, we make Birchas Erisin over a cup. That cup could be Chamar Medina. Doesn't have to be Yayin. That's a case of a kos shel bracha, and Havdalah fits into the classical kos shel bracha mode or model. But then there's a different kind of halach of kos, where the kos itself is related to seuda. So, for example, the Rambam is not going to allow Chamar Medina in the case of Birkas HaMazon. When you recite Birkas HaMazon over a kos, the Rambam requires Yayin, and Sheikha will not do it. Why? Because here the Birkas HaMazon relates to the Suda itself. And only Yayin can be related to a Suda, not Chamar Medina. So it's not just a classical kos shel bracha. The Rambam also paskins that a kos shel nesuin, right? In other words, there are two kosos, right? There's one kos for the Birkas Erisin, and then after the Erisin is complete, then we recite Sheva Brachas over another kos. And in between, you machabit someone to read the ksuba, to be mavdil between the first kus and the second kus. A lot of people think that that's the number two kibbut. You know, if you don't give someone Seder Kedushin, you give them a reading of the ksuba. So I won't tell you what Rav Shechter called. Anyway, so that's as far as the koshel shel nesuin. So the koshel nesuin in the Rambam says has to be yayin. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of Seuda. Once the Nisuin is clinched and the Simcha is halakhically valid, now there's a Chi of Seuda. Some say that there's a difference between the Kos of Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah and the Kos of Sheva Brachos after benching. But one thing is clear, that the Kos of Sheva Brachos after benching is not just a Koshel Bracha, but it's a Koshel Seuda, that's called a Seuda Simcha, and that requires Yayin. Levi was very excited about this tamar juice. Shadar Lei L'Rebbe Shikra, he sent a cup of Sheikhar, of this tamarim, bar tlesar magni. Tlesar means 13, and magni means soaking. So what does it mean, 13 soakings? Can you figure that one out? How did they create this drink? What they would do is they took dates and they soaked it in water. They soaked them in water. Then after the water absorbed all the juice of the dates, so the dates were already, you know, all used up, so to speak, right? So then they would take the dates out of the water and replace it with another group of dates. And they did this 13 times over. You can imagine how strong this drink was. And he sent it to Rav. And he anticipated to Rebbe. And he anticipated that Rebbe would certainly recite Havdalah over the Sheikhar, because this is like a wonderful drink. But Tameh, Levi himself tasted it. Vavi basim tuva. You know, it was sweet like anything. Omar, so Levi, you know, was so nispoil, he was so excited about this, he said, he declared, Kagon Zeh Royal Kaddish Olav. This is such a great drink that perhaps Rebbe would agree to make Kiddush over this drink. V'lomar olav kol shiros v'tishpachol shavolam. And any time he has to thank and praise God and sing song, he's going to use it for that kos shel shira, kos shel bruch. Now this Gemara would seem to support the Rashbam that you can use Chamra de Medina for Kiddush, which again that's the premise that we've been having a lot of problems with such a premise. But the Lashon of the Shas here is Kigon Zeroy LeKaddish Olam, and it's not Yayin. You know, the bracha would still be Shakol Nia Bidvara. Or maybe Bar Priya Eitz, I don't know, you have to know. Anyway, Balayla, that same night, after Levi tasted this wine, this date wine, and he was jumping from joy because it tasted so good, Tsare, he had stomach issues. Here in the Masifta, he says it was Shilshul. Omar, Mesron umefayes. In other words, does it make sense that Mesron, Miloshin Yisurin, that I should suffer so much, umefayes, and then I use it as a pius, as a ritzui in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recite Kiddush on it? So Levi at this point retracted his original position and he realized that this is not something that you want to make Kiddush on. So Rabbo said, I have a problem, my own personal issue with this, because I make Kiddush on dry wine. And the reason for that is because I'm on a low sugar diet. But the truth is, don't quote me on this, I hate dry wine. I've been trying for decades to get used to it, and I don't know what it is about me, I can't get used to dry wine. But I don't think I reached the level of Levi that it was such Yisurin that I couldn't tolerate it, that my stomach couldn't tolerate it. Omar of Yosef, Edar Barabim, I will take a vow, Aldas Rabin. That's the greatest kind of a neder that you can ever take. It doesn't even have hafara, is what's called Aldas Rabin. Delo Ishte Shikra, that I will not drink beer. Okay, I don't know exactly what kind of beer we're talking about. We're talking about classical beer or the beer that we spoke about in Levi's context, namely a Shikra from Tmarim. But apparently, Rav Yosef realized that this is not very healthy. It's not good for the intestines. He had a sensitive stomach. He took a neder that he would not drink this stuff. Again, the reason why he had to enjoin himself with the neder is because it was very tasty. It's like someone who enjoys ice cream. Do you know any people who love ice cream? You know, if you go to Thailand, for example, one of the most exciting things about Thailand is that you can eat ice cream in Thailand if you're anywhere near Haagen-Dazs and you're not Makbid on Chol Yisrael.
It's not funny because in America, you can't always eat all the Haagen-Dazs in this that they scoop out. You can't.
Right. No, what I'm saying is that it's really cool because you're in Bangkok, Thailand, and you open up and you go to a 7-Eleven or Haagen-Dazs. Every 7-Eleven has Haagen-Dazs, and they have two Haagen-Dazs. In the real Haagen-Dazs store, they have the scoops, and you don't know what's in there, so that you can't eat. But then they have the freezer, and in the freezer it has the OU. And you know, you really bless the OU when you're in Thailand and you can eat something with an OU. You know what I mean?
Or you have sticky rice.
Well, you eat sticky rice, right? Sticky rice and bamboo, right? Yeah. Okay.
If you did something.
Right. With all the conditions. Okay, fine. So now we have a person who loves ice cream, and he realizes that it's very bad for his stomach. Especially if he eats ice cream on an empty stomach. And he takes a neder. Amar Rava, Ishti Mezruyan. It's unbelievable. They used to soak flax in water and they would drink it. I can't imagine what it tastes like. It must have been horrible. But he says, I'd rather drink that below Ishti Shikra because Shikra is so detrimental for my health. The Amar Rava, Tehevi Shkayusa Shikra, may the drinking of Shechar be considered for a poor person. Manda Makadisha Shikra, in other words, if a person goes ahead and he makes Kiddush on Shikra, which he shouldn't have done, then he'll end up drinking Shechar for the rest of his life, meaning he'll be a poor person who won't be able to afford a cup of wine. And since he was stingy on Kiddush and he tried to get away with Shechar, Hashem will punish him and he'll have to drink Shechem for the rest of his life. Rav Ashkeche Rav Huna, Rav found Rav Huna the Kaddish HaShikra. He found that that Rav Huna was making Kiddush. Just 1 second, how do you read this? Rav Ashkeche Rav Huna. Ah, I read it wrong. It means Rav Huna found Rav reciting Kiddush over Shikra. And the question is, how do you make Kiddush on Shikra? And this, again, according to Rashbam, it could be that Shikra was Chamar Medina, but then Rashbam is going to have to learn that this was the Shekhar that's on a lower level, and it's not Chamar Medina. Or alternatively, if you go like the Rosh, who holds that there is no Kiddush on Chamar Medina, how could Rav make Kiddush on Chamar Medina on Shechar? Amalei, so Rav Huna turns to Rav and he says, Shari Abba Lemikne Istere Mishikra. Wow, this is a heavy accusation. That the reason why Abba is a Lashon Kavod for Rav, the reason why you allow making Kiddush on wine, on Shechar, is because Shechar brings you money. So let's just translate. It says, Lemikne means to buy or to acquire something. Istere means mos. And Shikra is Shechar. Basically what happened is that Rav went into the Shechar business. And that's how he made his money. He was a beer seller. And now Rav Huna is accusing Rav of getting so excited about beer. He loves beer because beer is what supports him. He brings him money on the table. That therefore he upgraded this beer to the status of Chamar Medina. And he made Kiddush on Chamar Medina. Now again, according to the Rashbam, that could be acceptable because there is a possibility of Kiddush on Chamar Medina. But according to the Rosh, this is a very difficult piece of Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Mekachin Ela Al Yayin, V'Ein Mevarchim Ela Al Hayayin. In other words, the Gemara holds that we make Kiddush on wine against the previous sugya that you could use Shechar, but the bigger Kiddush of this brisa is that we don't make a bracha on any mashke except for wine. What does that mean? That you could drink anything? No, there are cases in which you drink water without making a bracha, but what about fruit juices and the like? So the Gemara right away jumps at this. Atu ashikra v'amaya milo mevarchin alei shakol niya bidvaro. Any sort of drink, even water, we make a shakol niya bidvaro under most circumstances. Omer abaye hachi kamar. This is what the brisa means to say in Omrim. Have kos shel bracha levarech ela al hayayin. In other words, when you're ready to bench at the end of a meal and you want to say, bring in the kosher bracha so we can make the bracha of Birkas HaMazon, you can only do this on Yayin. That's what I mentioned to you before, that the Rama paskins that you cannot use Chamar Medina for a kos of Birkas HaMazon. Tana Rabbanan Mekadshin al HaShechar. According to the Tanakam of this Braisa, we do not make Kiddush on Chamar Medina. Only on Yayin. And that's what we saw in the previous brisa as well. But the second brisa, the one that we're learning now, quotes Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. And in the name of Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon Omru Mekadshin, that you can recite Kiddush on Shechar. Which again, as I told you before, is a problematic shita. So I think we have 2 or 3 minutes left till Myriv. Well, anybody have the exact time? My watch is a little... How many?
Three.
3 minutes? Okay, so let's see what we can accomplish in 3 minutes, because this will end all the sugyas of Kiddush and Avdolah, so that next week in Mitzvah we can start the sugyas of Leil Pesach, which is the reason why we chose this parak. The Gemara says, Mita'imas Yayin Kol Shehu. In other words, when a person recites Kiddush, he should also drink at least a Kol Shehu, a small amount of wine, from the Kiddush cup. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Molo Lugmav. This is the more famous shita, that the minimum amount of wine that you have to drink from the Kiddush is Molo Lugma, which means that the amount that would fit into, this is subjective depending on the size of your cheek, of your mouth, and you could fill up one side of your mouth. That's called Malo Lugmav. Omar Rav Huna Omar Rav V'chein Toni Rav Gidl to min Narash, I guess from the city of Narash. Hamakadesh V'tah Malo Lugmav Yotza. And then he accepts the second sheet of Rav Yossi, that it's enough, it's sufficient to drink Malo Lugmav. But it's not enough just to have a Te'ima Kol Shehu. V'yim Lav, but if he drinks less than Malo Lugmav, Lo Yotzi hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah kiddush. Here we have a gigantic controversy. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. Is it enough that somebody at the table drinks from the wine, or does he, the Makadish, himself have to drink from the wine? Gigantic machlokas. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Anot Ninale. I had this brisa in the name of Rav Gidl, and Lo Gidl, it doesn't say which Gidl it is. Lo Gidl bar Menashe, Lo Gidl bar Minyomi, Lo Gidl Stoma. So the Gemara says, well, why are you getting so excited here but that you don't know which Gidl it is? My nafkamina. And the Gemara answers, L'mirme didei adidei. Let's say we find a contradiction between something else that Rav Gidl said then and what he's saying now, then we have to know which is the real, will the real Rav Gidl please stand up? So anytime you ask a stira, I can always say, maybe this is one Rav Gidl and this is another Rav Gidl. Apparently the name Gidl was quite popular in those days. So Rabos, if you can remind me for next time that we're up to Ibailahu, and now we go back to the original Mishnah at the beginning of this Perek that we started with, and we want to know, when do you have to stop eating on Erev Pesach in order to eat matzah l'teyov? And everyone should have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week.